This is Karen Lyle with a Treasure Island Museum Spotlight, brought to you in partnership with the Academy of Art University, School of Multimedia Communications. Today's interview is with Thomas Kuhn, who was a flight engineer on the Pan Am Clipper flying boats that took off from Treasure Island on their way to the Far East.
A seaplane named China Clipper made the first trip. The publicity for that flight caused all flying boats on that air route to become known popularly as China Clippers.
When a giant four-motor, 26-ton flying boat takes off...
Well, I was a flight engineer for Pan American. Basically, as an aeronautical engineer, and a licensed aircraft mechanic. And on the airplane, the pilots held the wheel and steered the airplanes, and the engineer operated the engines and the air conditioning systems, the electric systems. Sort of like the engineer on an ocean liner, same idea. But with a big four-engine airplane, there were so many complicated systems that the pilots didn't have time to fool with that. They just flew the airplane, and the engineer took care of the chores.
This China Clipper was the first of three Martin M130 four-engine flying boats built for Pan American Airways. It was used to inaugurate the first commercial trans-Pacific air service from San Francisco to Manila in November 1935.
My first trip to Hawaii was in August of 1943 on the China Clipper. It took 22 and a half hours to get from San Francisco to Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. 22 and a half hours. But we had a double crew, and we had some bunks where we could take a nap. But it was still a long, long ride.
The initial flight carried only airmail. Passenger service began in October 1936 with three Clippers. They flew from San Francisco Bay to Pearl Harbor, Midway Atoll, Wake Island, to Guam, and to Manila Bay. That took 6 days of approximately 60 hours of flying time at a cruising speed of 130 miles per hour.
For more information on the free lectures on Treasure Island, visit www.treasureislandmuseum.org. This is Karen Lyle with the Treasure Island Museum Spotlight.
All right, it is a Tuesday. You hear a little Christopher Cross, and you know it's time to check in with SailSportsTalk.com. And co-hosting this segment on Tuesdays, as always, is Karen Lyle. How are you, Karen?
I'm doing great, Rick. You know, I'm thinking travel, and I'm getting on my first plane from SFO right after this show, since COVID started. So it's the first time I've flown.
Well, I hope it's a seaplane. This is SailSportsTalk.com.
Well, we have someone to talk about cruise ships, because we want to talk about how that's all happening in the future, because we want to have people be able to go out on cruise ships again.
No doubt about it. And let's bring in our guest, Sandra Lipkowitz from We Make Travel Easy. Sandra, what is the situation with cruise ships? Because we know about a year ago, a lot of these cruise ships were seen as these super spreader floating vessels of disease.
Yes. Well, first of all, Karen and Rick, thank you very much for having me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really feel the cruise industry really got a bad rap. I mean, unfortunately, the ships were out when no one really knew what COVID was. And then when they were coming back, no one would let passengers off. I mean, all the wrong things were done. So, and then they were just basically sidelined. And the ones that were in South America, no country would even let them land. So, dock. So it was really a mess. But the cruise industry has been very, very proactive in doing everything they can possibly do to get the ships in tip-top shape to be able to go out again. They followed all the CDC recommendations. They've done everything. They're vaccinating crew. They've dealt with norovirus, and so they're the very cleanest possible. I mean, and the cruise industry has to report. Hotels don't have to report. We don't know how many people got COVID in hotels. It's just the data's not there. The cruise industry is very well regulated and everything else. So I am confident that anyone that's going to be going out now, most of the cruise lines are requiring vaccinated passengers. So you will know that the staff is vaccinated. The crews, and some of them are not even letting, children on, first times out. They're just only wanting vaccinated passengers. But river cruising, that's also another side of the industry. And in the summer of 2020, AMA Waterways, which is a cruise line that I really, really like in the river cruising sector, they actually chartered their ships to a German tour operator who, in the summer of 2022, had their ships with the AMA crew and AMA staff operating. They had over 1,400 passengers over the summer and not one case of COVID. So they have all their protocols down. They're going to start sailing in Europe again in July. And so we know that they have been through this, tested, everything's good, they're following all the protocols. It's, I think that cruising is probably going to be one of the safest places to travel going forward.
Sandy, I understand that you're doing something that has to do with Denmark and flowers. Could you tell us about that?
Yes. It's actually in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam. There is an amazing international floral expo that happens once every decade. So, and fortunately, the decade was 2022. So it's 150 acres outside of Amsterdam, and this coming one is going to be the greening of cities, and they're going to be looking at the future of cities and how we can make them healthier. We're all dealing with global warming, and nature is one of the things, and we all saw how well nature healed when we had the little pause during the pandemic. So it's going to be 150 acres. It's kind of like a World's Fair and a Venetian Biennale rolled all into one. There's going to be 40 countries participating, 150 acres, 850 meters of cable car. It's on the edge of a river, obviously, in the Netherlands. Everything is on canals and rivers and things like that. They're even going to be making two bridges out of the wastewater from the canals. So we Make Travel Easy have designed a very unique itinerary that no one else has. We're going to spend 2 days at Floriade, and then we're going to the International Flower Auction, which is an amazing site. All the flower growers around the world send their flowers there. It's like football fields full of flowers. They bid like on a Christie's auction, but now with laptops, you see them there. The flowers are bid, they go on a plane, and they go out around the world. A friend's father had a rose farm in Zimbabwe. He sold all his roses through there. So when we leave the second day at Floriade, then we embark on the beautiful AMA Prima, an AMA Waterway ship, and we're going to sail through the Netherlands and Belgium. And along the way, we're going to visit some four important gardens on our seven-day cruise. But we're also going to have beer tasting and chocolate tasting, and you can go to Bruges, which is basically Belgium version of Venice. It's all canals. There's no cars in the center of the area, and you can just kind of get on a little boat and kind of travel through and see the beautiful architecture. And it's just wonderful. So it's a lovely combination, especially if you're a sailor and maybe your partner is not as enthusiastic about sailing and you want to take a vacation together where both of you can enjoy things. So you can be on the water, you can enjoy the ship, you can enjoy, relaxing and maybe not being the captain this time and enjoying the beautiful scenery. And then your partner gets to come along, and it just works out beautifully.
So it's interesting when you talk about where the Floreat is, because that's, if I'm not mistaken, the Markermere Lake. And then and I love Bruges as well. It's an amazing city. But
it's gorgeous, yeah.
So you're going down through all the canals. We're not talking about a big cruise ship?
No, we're not. It's 160 passengers, three decks, and the top deck is totally open. And this trip is going to be from May 29th to June 7th. So it's going to be absolutely gorgeous weather. So the times that we're not sailing, the times that we are sailing, you can sit up on the top deck if you want. I mean, there's a small swimming pool, there's a bar, and you can just enjoy the gorgeous scenery. And everything should be in full bloom because that's the height of the season, given that we're in the Netherlands and Belgium.
Yes, Sandy, you've traveled to, I think, over 70 countries and done a lot of customized trips for businesses and private clubs, and aren't you looking forward to traveling again?
I am, but I have to tell you, during the pandemic, I actually went to Mexico, and I also went to Costa Rica. Those were countries that were open. I followed all the safety protocols, and I had a fabulous time, and it was wonderful. So if you travel safely, wear your mask on the plane, follow the protocols wherever you're going, you can still have a fabulous, fabulous time. I mean, we still went zip lining in Costa Rica. We all wore masks, and it didn't, you know, it still was fun. And so as we move forward and as more and more countries are vaccinated, more and more things will open up, and it's time to get out and experience the world again and see people and, you know, just have these wonderful times.
I have noticed too, looking at a lot of, you know, different travel ideas, that, you know, hotels and rental car places, they're trying to earn back a lot of the money that they lost, and I've never seen higher rates in my life. I guess that's just to be expected.
Well, the rental cars, I mean, that is not, that's not what happened. What happened is during the pandemic, nobody was renting cars, and they had no place to park them. If you're a rental car company, a certain percentage of your cars are out.
Mm-hmm.
When all your cars are in, so what they did is they sold off 30% of their fleets, and they didn't sell them at Blue Book prices. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's wanting cars, and they just don't have them.
Mm.
And then, you know, with all the things that we've been hearing about the shortage of chips, and so we're not manufacturing new cars. And so it's just, you know, it's just one of those things where the rental cars companies, yes, they're charging a lot of money, but they don't have cars.
Mm-hmm.
And even so, even with the money that they're charging now, if 30% of their fleet is missing, even with these, you know, higher and sometimes exorbitant costs, they're still not making what they would have made if they had a whole fleet out. So they kind of got caught in the pandemic and are just trying to survive.
Sandy, are you a boater?
Excuse me?
Are you a boater or sailor?
Not right now, but I'm divorced, and we did have a 42-foot tartan in San Francisco Bay.
Good, but you love these the river cruise ships. Tell us a little bit more about the vessel that you're going to be using in the trip coming up in 2022.
Okay, so the name of the ship is the Alma Prima. It's registered in Switzerland. It's home ported in Basel. It's 443 feet long and about 38 feet wide. The crew is 51. There are 81 staterooms and 162 passengers. And basically, it's three levels of cabins. Your entry level of cabin is your window at the waterline, so part of your cabin is below and part's in. But then you get up to what we call a French balcony, where you have sliding glass, full floor-to-ceiling windows that slide back and forth and open, but the French balcony is only about 6 inches outside. So you can't step out, but you can have a full view, and you can have all the fresh air and everything that you want. And then they go up to what we call a twin balcony. and that is a glass enclosed, the balcony, half of it's glass enclosed and half of it's open to the air. So depending about the time of year, whether it's too hot or too cold or rainy, you could still sit inside your glass enclosed balcony or, if the weather permits, outside. But you also have the top of the ship is totally open. So, as I said, there's a small swimming pool, there's a bar, there's seating areas. They often have a wellness instructor who can do a yoga class or an exercise class if you want. And then also inside, then there, what they call the lounge area, it's 270-degree glass view. So if you're sailing and, again, you don't want to be inside or outside or you don't want to be in your cabin, you want to be with friends, you can sit in this lounge and just, you know, watch the world go by as you sail down the canal or the river.
That's Sandra Lipkowitz. We make travel easy. Sandra, thanks for your time and your insights. Appreciate it.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Get back to traveling, everyone. The world's out there waiting to greet you.
All right. Sounds good. Karen, we'll see. Well, where are you going, by the way? You're getting on a plane?
Yeah, I'm going to visit my mom, actually.
Oh, great. All right, well, have a good time, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline.